Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kilowatt, a podcast about electric vehicles, renewable energy, autonomous driving, and much, much more. My name is Bodie, and I am your host, and we have a big show for you today. Rod Simmons of the SMR podcast and the Barbecue and Tech podcast agreed to come on the show and talk about Rivian's R2 event. We had a great time. As a matter of fact, we talked for a very long time, so I'm going to keep this part a little bit short. I do want to recognize, though, our new patron, and that is Steve. Steve, thank you so much for going to patreon.com/kilowatt and signing up and becoming a patron. It means a lot. As many of you know, or you should know if you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, but all the money that comes in through Patreon or Acast Plus, all that money goes right back into the show. None of that money goes into my pocket. So you are literally supporting the show. So thank you very much, Steve, for doing that. It really does mean a lot. But that's not all of the thank yous. It's a new month, so we need to thank our Patreon supporters as well as our Acast Plus supporters. So starting with Patreon supporters, we're going to start with Steve, Charles, Paul, John, just another Nick, Charles again, different Charles, Electron Raceway Fabricator, Scott, Gene, Chris, Jamie, Don, Christopher, Stephen, Alex, Alan, Friendly Sleet 66, Joseph, Jerbo, Steve, Bruce, Isaiah, Howard, Bruce, again with a C this time, Michael Muskie, Rolando, Tommaso, Chip, Chris B, Sierra, Dale, Don, Cameron, Nate Z, Mark, and James. That's a long list. But that's not all, because we also have Ravi and Sean supporting us on the Acast Plus feed. And I just want to take just one more opportunity to thank all of you for supporting the show. It really does mean a lot. So thank you very much. All right, let's go ahead and move on to our interview with Rod Simmons, where we are discussing the R2 event. I would like to welcome Rod to the show.
Thanks for having me here again. This is my second appearance. Hopefully it won't be my last.
Second in 4 years, I think. I didn't go back to look the exact time period, but yeah, second in 4 years. Well, Rod, I had you on because, or I wanted to have you on because the Rivian made an announcement, and I know that you are a big fan of electric vehicles. I think at one point in time, you even had a reservation on an R1T. Is that right?
R1S. I do have a reservation on R1S. Yes.
Got it. Well, let's start with that, because you are currently a 2-Tesla household. What was it about the R1S that made you want to move away from Tesla?
Yeah. So be careful. I'm not moving anywhere away from Tesla, but, the thing that attracted me, the R1S is like that traditional big SUV that you expect, like Range Rover or, an Escalade or a Tahoe. It has the same body style, look and feel. And it appears to be more roomy than what you can get with Tesla's Model X. I have a family, four people. My kids are older. Like, so in the Model X, it was really useful when I got it 7 years ago because my youngest were, I think my youngest were, 8 and 6 at the time. And now they're 13 and 15. So they're just a lot bigger. And I just need, when we are all in one vehicle as a family, I need more room. Typically, I don't have them all. Like, I usually just may have the younger two and the older two just say, we can drive, we'll just follow behind you. And it's just my wife and the younger two. And I like the idea that we can just take all, like, put down the back row seats, throw all the stuff in that one big SUV and go. And what I don't like about the Model X, I have the 6-seat version. And if you've ever been in a Model X, there's no armrests on the side. Like, so, and the seats in the back don't recline a lot. So, like, think of long road trips. What did you want to do as a kid sitting in the back? Is you want to be able to recline. You want to be able to sleep. If it's just you back there, you want to be able to lay across the row. And because I don't have a bench seat, it's bucket seats with no arms. It's just less comfortable from a long-term road tripping car. And it's purely a room thing. So the Rivian appeals to me because of the additional space and some of the deficiencies that I have because of what I selected from a Model X that just weren't there. But yeah, that's what drove me to looking at the R1S because it definitely aligns with a use case of how I would like to see it. And while I love the X doors, there are times where they're not the best design for a door to be opening up on a vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't want to imply that you were anti-Tesla or anything.
No,
because
I know.
Anybody listens to the SMR podcast, you are very much not. You are fair on Tesla, if anything. So my wife, we're looking, we'll pay my car off in like a year, my Model Y. So we're looking for a car for my wife because hers is due and she wants a bigger car. She has a minivan right now. Mm-hmm. And, I showed her the R1S, which is a little bit of money. It's a lot of money for that R1S.
It'll make you cry when you pay for it. Yeah.
It's the only electric SUV in the size that she would feel comfortable driving, based on what we do with the kids, in terms of traveling and stuff. As you know, if you got young kids, you got to travel with a lot of stuff. And it's the only one that she said, at dinner last night, I said, this is the only one that you liked. And she's like, no. She's like, I didn't say I liked it. I said, it was okay. It's like, for me, that's you liking it. That's you. I don't understand the difference, but, so the R1S is a great looking vehicle. The R1T is a great looking vehicle. And then we get to the R2 event, the R2 platform. You watched the video, you watched the announcement.
Yes, I did.
They started off with the Adventure Network. And I just kind of wanted to dive into this just a little bit because I think it was the end of this month, Rivian will gain access to the Supercharger network.
Yeah.
But RJ said that they were going to have 600 Rivian Adventure charging stations within the next few years. Mm-hmm. Currently, they have 67 and a total of 400 DC fast chargers. So I don't know what a few years looks like for RJ, but that's a lot of work in terms of getting that built out.
Yeah, I would agree on that. I think the key for Rivian, and I think where the Adventure Network, let me take a step back. If you think about the connection they have with Tesla or EVgo or Electrify America, that's about the road tripping that people are going to do. Part of the ethos or the DNA of Rivian is about adventure. And the Adventure Network should be at trailheads. So what mm-hmm. I expect is if I'm going to Moab, if I'm entering a trail in Moab, I should be able to hit a Rivian charger at the entry and exit points that I might have going throughout Moab or somewhere in Utah. Or even if you're looking at East Coast US, if you're doing off-roading, like to me, that's the Adventure Network has to hit those off-roading points and be solid there so that I know that I can charge up with, let's say, the Tesla or Electrify America network to get to my off-roading. And then I know that I can I can charge up before I hit my off-roading adventures and know that when I exit out at various exit points, I have that. So that's where I'm hoping. I mean, I saw the map that they laid out and I'm like, please focus on the off-roading capabilities for the Rivian and let other people like Tesla and Electrify America handle that cross-country road trip traveling. Because again, it's just where Rivian is going to be strong at is going to be that trailhead. And if you think Cybertrucks could be out there doing the same thing, and it allows Tesla to focus on that cross-country travel and Rivian to focus in an area that I think would benefit them, and they would have Tesla customers coming there to charge as well.
You know what? So I was actually a little surprised when he made this announcement at the beginning, simply because, just like you said, Rivian said that they're going to place these charging points at places where people want to go off-roading and or go camping.
Yep.
They did say that, but the network, I don't think the network's necessary. You have Electrify America, like you said, you have Blink, you have all these other EVgo, you have all these other charging networks out there. I guess I didn't come around to this way of thinking until you just said it, but all the pieces fell into place. Like, if you're going to build a charging network, build a charging network where these other places aren't willing to put them. Anything else on the Adventure Network?
Nope. Like I say, I think we both agree, focus on trailheads. And Electrify America, I've heard mixed reviews on user's experience. I'm fortunate with Teslas, I've never had to interact with the network. But I've had, like, I know Chris from the SMR podcast has gone on a road trip using Electrify America, and he didn't have any problems. I mean, it was a very seamless trip for him, but then you hear the nightmare stories. So yeah, no, for me, no more on the Adventure Network, other than I'm excited to see more people having access to the Supercharger network, which I think will hopefully force Tesla to continue to build out and expand it for all EV owners.
Yeah, yeah, and they're definitely doing that for sure. We don't have to talk about how people are going to actually charge these third party EVs at these stations, at these supercharger locations, because that in itself, it's already hard enough to get a supercharger when it's busy.
Yep.
Somebody taking up two spots because that's the only way they can charge, because Tesla has ridiculously short cabling.
Yeah. Yes, that it's funny because, you know, when they talk about the adapters, I wonder if any of the, like, because someone has mentioned, I saw a podcast and they mentioned that the instructions they were giving people, like for the Ford, was to kind of park between spaces. I'm like, yeah, that's great as an instruction so that they can get the cord to reach. The problem is now they're taking up two stalls versus one. And I'm surprised that the adapters they're working on are just an adapter and not an adapter with a cable, so that it gets just enough stretch so that you can park normal in a space, but extend the cable so you now have an adapter plus cable. Like, there might be like even 4 feet of cable or 2 feet of cable or whatever you need so that they can charge. Hopefully they figure that part out, because I think that would be critical for, I'll call them the existing vehicles, and then for the next wave of vehicles. I think Rivian, with the announcement they just did, they're showing the charge points being on the rear driver's side, similar to Tesla.
Yeah. And I will say that the folks at Tesla, I heard this on the Out of Spec podcast, and they're really good and reliable. I guess Tesla's working on an extension cable, a NACS-to-NACS extension cable. So I feel like it's going to cost $500 for that cable. Those cables are not cheap, and those adapters are not cheap. But there is something in the works on Tesla's side to kind of bridge that gap. It's just going to be very expensive.
Yeah, I know the Ford adapter, well, it's free for now until June 30th. And it'll be $230 after, just for the adapter, which seems, it's high, but it's a fair price. If you already own the vehicle and you own it before June 30th and you register for it, you get it for free. Right. I'm hoping Rivian does something similar for Rivian owners when the adapter comes out, that there's kind of this grace period for free, and then post that. And, you know, it's unfortunate because, like, I have an R1S, and the only thing that's delaying me is, like, when are you going to switch the port on this so I don't have to be, you know, adapter happy? Because, I mean, charging at my house is super simple. I already have an adapter that goes from Tesla to J1772. So I could charge at home easily. The bigger challenge is on a road trip. Obviously the adapter would remain in my car, but it's just one additional piece for when charging. And I would, as a person who goes to a lot of Tesla chargers, I would be frustrated to pull up to a charger where it says that there are one or two stalls available, and come to find, like, you know, three F-150s and Rivians park between spaces so I can't charge. And I have to just sit there and watch because that is the only way they can get the cables to reach. And I can't pull in and charge. And so I'm hoping that one, Rivian gets a thing there. And then two, that hopefully we get some extension cables to make it viable so that we don't have, I don't say fights breaking out at charging stations, but frustration across vendors.
It might be fights. It might be fights. Like when I didn't have a charger in the garage, which I'm pointing behind me because that's where the garage is. When I didn't have a charger in the garage, I had to go to a mall to charge, and me and everybody else, most of those folks maybe driving for Uber or whatever, are charging up in the morning, and it's busy, and there's no system other than the honor system about who's going to take which spot when somebody leaves. And it's already kind of stressful. You don't want to be a jerk.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody there does, but also, you know, it takes a long time to get your car charged in those situations.
Yeah. If you're not a fast charger and you're at a traditional, like a level two charger, that would be brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. This was a DC fast. Okay, this was the supercharger network, but it was just, it's really busy. And there's like probably eight or no, there's got to be more than that. There's probably 10 stalls.
What state are you in again?
Arizona.
Okay, yeah. So I think it's like any of those nice, beautiful, warm states. I spent a lot of time in Phoenix, and I know last time I was there, the number of Teslas I see in Phoenix is insane. So, and I can imagine like some of the chargers I've had an opportunity to go to in the Phoenix area, Gilbert area, mm-hmm. just around there, they can... So there are some that can be super congested. So I could imagine that being problematic.
Yeah. And in Tesla's defense, since I bought my car in May of last year, and they've opened two superchargers near and around me. So
that's nice.
Two locations. So yeah, for them. Also, I'm going to give you maybe a ray of hope, but no promises on that Rivian connector.
Yeah.
That NACS connector on the R1. Rivian is shutting down production it's either this month or in April to reconfigure the line. They're going to improve some efficiencies and update some stuff in the vehicles. My hope was that they were going to throw that NACS connector on their cars at that time because they're opening up that they're getting access in, let's see, the end of this month to the supercharger network.
Yep.
So, like you said, also don't hold your breath. RJ has been very quiet about whether or not they're going to give that free adapter out to folks. I kind of figured that if they were going to do it, they would have announced it by now.
Yeah, I think Ford, when they originally announced the connector, they did announce it was going to be a free adapter. And as I said, if it's even if you have to pay for it, again, if you're buying a $100,000 car, you may not want to pay $100 for an additional adapter. It's a pain. However, I think most people, if they looked at it and they said, wait a second, I get access to all these additional chargers, road tripping becomes a little bit easier, a more reliable network, I think it's great. I'm a night driver when it comes to long-term road trips. So a lot of the pain that I hear people say about road tripping is because many people like to road trip. Like they want to get up at like, you know, 5:36 in the morning, get on the road, and they drive during the day. I'll leave it like around 9:30, 10 o'clock at night or 1 or 2 in the morning and hit the road. And I'm 90% of the way to my destination by 8 a.m. So I'm like hitting my last charge at 8 a.m. or 7 a.m. and then pulling in. So for me, like the pain that, many people feel with that long range road trip, I don't feel because at 2 o'clock in the morning, no one's at the chargers that I go to. But again, many people are like, I cannot be driving at 2 a.m. Like I would fall asleep and wreck. But for me, it's like just getting up at, you know, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, hitting the road and driving for, you know, 7 or 8 hours is, it's just a no brainer for me. I much prefer it because I can pull into a supercharger, I can plug in and I can close my eyes and go to sleep.
Nice. I think we've thoroughly covered charging.
Yeah, sorry.
Let's move on to the R2. No, it's okay. I'm as guilty. Let's move on to the R2. Initial impressions of the R2.
So, let me take a step and say on the overall announcement, the first thing that came to mind after I watched the entire announcement was there's a lot of complexity that's going into the overall process for Rivian to do vehicle delivery. So the R2, I was like, I love it. The reviews I've heard on the R1S is it's not as big as you would think, like with an Escalade, like an extended body Escalade. It's not, it's in a, I've seen them. They're not that big. So they already feel like a smaller, and this is a smaller version of it. I think they think they did a lot of great things. The frustration I have is first half of 2026 is a long ways away.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're to be realistic. I mean, we all have dealt with software and vendors, and when they say first half of 2026, what they mean is June 30th, 2026. Like literally, we will at least have it by the last day of the first half of 2026.
Yeah.
So with it being 2 years away, and I did go back and do some research because I was like, I don't want to be unfair to Rivian. Tesla announced in 2016, March, the Model 3. The following year, 2017, by July, it was shipping. So that was like about 16 months. And like the written announcement Rivian is getting us, like you might say, well, Rod, it's only like, 12 plus 6 months. So it's about 18 months away. But I was like, no, there's 6 more months added on top of that. So we could be, you know, pushing, you know, we could be a little over 2 years away from potentially the first vehicle delivery if you're being somewhat pessimistic. So that was my first concern. The vehicle. Now, if you ask just about what did I think of the vehicle, loved it. I was like, I liked. So there are subtle things that I noticed about the vehicle. First, when I looked at it, I liked the fact that the doors front and back open between the wheel wells. That tells me that there's definitely some room on the vehicle. Whereas when you went to the R3, you could see that kind of curve of the door opening over the rear wheel well, which means a lot more compression inside the cabin. So that I liked. Freaking, they have a 2 glove box. I was like, just give one. But the fact they have a glove box was great.
Yeah, that was funny.
I like I think this was the one that had the roll down rear window. Or was it pop up? I think this was the
pop out. Oh no, the rear window was rolled down.
Yeah, rolled down. So I liked that. So there's a lot to really like about that vehicle. But for me, it was, is it going to be in that class of large enough? Is it the right price point? Which at 270 miles, $45,000 is your start point. I think it's a great sweet spot. I wish they could have had a little bit better range on it, but again, the numbers are right for many people going into the vehicle, even though that won't be the average selling price on the vehicles when they hit the market. And the inside design and everything it had everything you wanted. I think it kind of sucks that they're not going to have I think that one did not have the camp speaker in it.
Nope.
Which it seemed like it was like, that would have been just a nice little great win. I mean, you're talking $100 item, but I know that at some point in time, you're trying to scrape together pennies to get to this $45,000 start price. I can't remember if it was the R1S or the R3 when they showed the flashlight on the R2 or the R3. On the R1S, when you look at the flashlight, it is like inside the doors. You have to press it to have it come out.
Right.
And on one of the vehicles, when they showed it was like, you could kind of see the flashlight was there and it didn't feel like this kind of hidden element. Subtle.
They definitely highlighted. They even made a yellow. There was a little yellow mark on the flashlight.
Yeah.
So that you knew it was there.
And which, again, when you think about usability, it's good because when you need a flashlight, you want it to be there. And I think at least for including that, think about like when you get a brand new vehicle, you put your kids in a new vehicle they're driving, you want to make sure they have flashlights. They want to have like the little placards they can put on the ground if they're stuck in like the reflective stuff. All those things you want to have in a vehicle. I think this is just one of those elements that's great they're including. The camp speaker at bare minimum, and I know that I'm jumping way ahead, the R3, the crossover one, that should have a camp speaker in it because that is geared towards a younger market where that speaker is awesome. So I like the vehicle. I liked it a lot. What did you think?
Okay. So I like the R1S a lot. I like the R2 a little less.
Oh, okay.
It seems like that hood that sticks out, that seems like a lot of the car. There's a lot of hood on that car. And my concern is it's a lot of hood and then it drops off drastically. My concern is that's going to be a little bit harder to see the road in front of you.
Yeah.
Not a big deal in most situations, but if you're trying to, kids, I'm going to go from a firefighter standpoint. Kids are my main concern on that. If you can't see a kid because you can't see 10 or 12 feet in front of you because of that hood, just by the way it is, that would be my concern just in general. Other than that, I still like the car. Like I didn't hate the car. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't have a, cause Tesla's moving to that camera on like the front bumper. I'm surprised they didn't have that. And
they're 11 cameras. They might have that.
Yeah. I'm looking at the image of it now and I'm like, I didn't see it. And it's funny cause when looking at the video live, the doors, like, as I just mentioned, they look like they're between the wheel walls. And now I'm looking, I was like, wait a second, that door is not between the wheel walls on the R1S. It's a little bit, on the wheel.
The
R2. The door actually isn't as in between the wheels as I thought it was. So I will take back the statement I said just a couple minutes ago, but when looking at it now versus what I saw in the video, you're right. Now that I'm looking at it, I'm like, yeah, the front hood is really long. I can see from your standpoint the risk or concern with how long the front hood is.
Yeah, and also if you just type in R2 in pictures, guess what you get? You get R2D2. There we go.
So did that prevent you from doing, because I know you say you've another vehicle in your household. Are you considering a reservation on one?
I don't. My wife likes to set up a little bit higher.
Okay.
And this is, I got the specs right here. So I converted all of our specs. Let me go to this. So this is 15 and a half feet long, which is 1.5 feet shorter than the R1S and 0.5 foot shorter than the Model Y.
Yep.
So that's right in that, it's right in that sweet spot. I'm not unhappy with how long it is. It's about 5.5 feet tall. So it's a little bit shorter than the R1S.
Yep.
And then let's see. It talks about the wheel west. Didn't really talk about how wide it was. It looked nice and roomy on the inside. RJ Scringe mentioned that he was 6'1".
Yes.
He got in the car with Marquez Brownlee. They both looked comfortable, although I'm sure RJ could have pushed his seat back a little bit, but when he was in there, his knees were right up to the dash. But I'm guessing he didn't adjust his seat because Marquez looks like he's a little taller just when they were standing next to each other. And Marquez did not have that same thing.
Right.
I don't think that's an issue, but inside it looked roomy. I would have liked to have seen, I didn't watch the whole Marquez video, but I would like to have seen somebody get in the back that was roughly their size and see how comfortable it was.
Yeah. So I'll say I'm fortunate, but unfortunate that I'm not vertically challenged. So typically a 7 foot tall person can sit behind me. I'm only 5'7". So if I'm in behind somebody, if they're 6 foot, typically I have enough room, so I'm comfortable. But we all know that if you're on a long road trip, if a 6 foot I may be able to sit behind anybody, when you're on a, running around town, like 30 minute, you might be behind somebody. But if you're talking, 3 or 4 hours straight driving, you get a little less comfortable. But I agree with you. I would have preferred if they showed, a tall person in the front with a tall person behind them to see how much leg room they had.
Yeah. One of the things that I think it's overlooked at Tesla events is there's always somebody in every seat when they roll a car out.
I was shocked.
And then they
on that.
Get out and they just had one person. And I think that was, folks of different size get in there, show us, I want to see somebody that's big and tall and I want to see them getting out of the back seat.
I want to see the clown car show. Yeah. show me everybody rolling out. I agree with you 100%. Yeah. That would have been definitely a win for them if they would have shown that.
Yeah. But overall it looks roomy. Let's see here. Let's talk about the interior a little bit. Cause since we're kind of on that, it is a 5-seater, 2 rows. One of the things I thought was neat. I'm not a camper myself. To me, camping is staying anywhere less than a Ritz-Carlton. So,
uh, All right. You like to rough it, I see.
Yeah. Sometimes I have to. Sometimes I have to. So the thought that you can throw an inflatable mattress, because both rows stow the seats, or they fold down flat. So you can throw an inflatable mattress back there. At 15 and a half feet long, it's big enough where you could probably have two adults and two small children sleep comfortably in there for a while. Not probably long term. Like, you wouldn't want to live in there. But if you're going out camping for a night and you didn't have a tent, you could probably make that work if you had two small kids.
So I agree with you 100% on that. I'm not a huge camper. We've done camping trips with our kids. And if I were to camp, I'm going to be in a tent. I mean, it's just fine. Like, you know, we're usually, when we've camped, it's like 3 or 4 day type activities. I'm not roughing it for months on end. But what I like, I don't even like the fact that the front row seats folded down flat is like outstanding. But I kind of looked at it as the nicety of being able to have like the, if you will, the trunk, if you will, of the vehicle plus that second row fold down is, yes, if you and your wife were saying, you know, we're going away for a long weekend, we're going to go here, we're going to do a little hiking, that it's very viable that you can say, we're just going to create a bed in the back here for our long road trip, and we can pull in to like a Hilton or wherever it is with a slow charger. We can plug in after we're tired for the night, let the car start charging, let, you know, pull out, lay in the back of the car, and we can just pass out. I don't need to get a hotel for the night. The back of the car can be our suitcases in the front trunk and underneath, and a little bit in the back, and just a bed that we can lay out for a road trip from Arizona to a proper place to live in the US, like Washington, DC area, or, you know, wherever you want.
You know, now that you said that, I didn't even put this together. My oldest, she's 28. She has a Model 3, and her boyfriend, they travel. They both work from home.
Yeah.
They travel all over the country, mm-hmm. and work from different places. And they want a little bit bigger vehicle, something a little bigger, maybe Model Y size. But they were a part of the snowpocalypse in Texas a couple of years ago, and they had no heat. Like, it was more comfortable for them to sit in their Model 3 than it was for them to sit in the and they have a dog in the house that they had rented that was right on the beach that was getting pounded by those freezing cold winds. So this, if they had this in that situation, they could have easily folded everything down. They have their dog, who's a golden retriever. She could have been very comfortable, and they could have been very comfortable. And I mean, hopefully that'll never happen to them again, but
so
I could definitely see that.
So to compliment your story, like, 'cause your daughter and her, you said husband or boyfriend?
Boyfriend.
Like, trying to move around. Like, think about people who are buying camper vans who want to move around the US, and because they're like, my job, I can work anywhere as long as I have internet and phone. Whereas if you're younger and you have that capability, it's like, today I'm working at a wine garden in Napa Valley, and tomorrow I might be somewhere else. That kind of vehicle would be very conducive for that. But my neighbor, their son, he went and moved out to Colorado, and when he graduated from college, and all he when he moved out, it was actually in the dead of winter. He was going out there to ski. He's like, I don't have a place to stay. I'm pretty much living in my car skiing. And he was actually putting insulation on the doors of the, like, he opened up the doors of the car, put insulation in the car to try to make sure he can maintain heat. And I'm like, well, one, he didn't have an electric car. He was a gas combustion car. So that's why he couldn't run the car all night long. But I was like, this would have been the perfect vehicle for him, was get yourself an R2, fold it down. Your bed's in the back. You're driving the car. When you get someplace, you can park, get on a level 2 charger, plug in for the night, and, you know, take some snoozes in the back of the car. You can put the, if you ever watch Born Nyland, he'll, like, when he's sleeping in his Tesla, he'll actually put things up on the windows so people can't look in. And it also prevents the frost from building up in the car from all the hot air we breathe out when we sleep. But I mean, like, for your daughter, as you said, it would have saved her from the painfully cold temperatures in Texas, but it would also be very conducive to her highly mobile lifestyle of moving through the US and just saying, as I'm going from Arizona or Texas, I think you said she's in, to California or to Wyoming or to the East Coast areas, I don't need to get a hotel. you know, every night to sleep in, we can sleep in the car. And I mean, that when you're on a budget, the cost savings for that is a lot better. And honestly, being able to road trip and just say, just lay in the back of the car, go to sleep. And when we get to our destination, we might add a hotel in there because we don't feel like going to gyms all the time to shower is it's a rock star.
Yeah, I agree. Not to extend this conversation any longer, but my father-in-law has one of those Sprinter vans. It's not a Sprinter van. It's made by Dodge.
Yeah.
But they're one of those Sprinter van RVs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he could probably, honestly, for what he does, because he just goes out for a couple of days at a time. He doesn't use the bathroom in it. He doesn't shower in it because it's kind of small. He's like 5'4". He's not particularly tall. But he doesn't use any of that stuff because – like it's a pain in the butt to clean and maintain and all that stuff. So all he does is sleep in this van, and he does a little bit of cooking, and he doesn't even do that much. He's basically uses a microwave, so he could easily do this.
Yeah. So I know you were giving some stats. Did you I did want to make sure I touched on the R1. If what will I buy?
Okay.
So, I did want to see the R2. Before I made any decision, I can tell you unequivocally, R1Ss, I will stick with the R1S, and I will, I'm thinking within the next 6 or so months, I will do an R1S. The biggest concern I have, which is why I'm sitting on my money just for a little bit longer with Rivian, is it's just the ongoing concern of, can they pull through this wave and get to volume production? And that's where, when I started off with saying the first thing that popped to mind was complexity. If you think about the R1S and the R1T, you have the quad motor, you have the tri motor, you have rear wheel motors. It's like complexity, complexity, complexity. You have the R2 now coming out. You have different battery configurations, different motor configurations, like dual motor, tri motor, single motor, rear motor. It's like I'm long-term concerned is, can they simplify the supply chain, simplify the manufacturing process so they can get to volume? Because Tesla was doing roughly 20,000 Model S's and X's when they announced and shipped the Model 3. Rivian isn't at those 20,000 numbers for the R1T and the R1S yet. I think they'll get there, but they're introducing another model, again, almost 2 years to 2 years and 3 months away. But I'm praying that they can get over that hump. And I'm concerned that because they announced so far early that there's going to be a lot of people who are like, I was going to buy the R1, the R1S, but now I'm looking at it. I mean, what the start price difference is, the R1S starts at 74. The R2 starts at 45. That's 30 grand. So if you weren't on the fence, you're likely saying it was what I wanted because it's all you had. Now there's an option that's $30,000 cheaper. So there might be R1S owners who say, I'm going to get the R2 and I will wait two years, which further impacts the amount of loss that Rivian has on a per vehicle delivery until they can get to some volume. That's my biggest concern is I'm hesitant to want to buy it because will they be around in 2 years, 3 years? I pray so. I'm a shareholder, so trust me, I really pray so. But that's the only concern I have for Rivian is can they make it to this R2 date?
So in speaking to the complexity, Rivian, I think it was last year, a lot of the components that make up the drivetrain, the motor and the modules that go, not battery modules, but the modules that go on the motor that manage like how much torque to put on this wheel and that wheel, all of that was separate for a while. And now and it's been a while since I've gone through this, so I don't want to speak like I know it. I'm just vaguely remembering it. All of that kind of combined into one package. So that's one piece now instead of several different pieces. And Rivian is, I'm sure they have different suppliers, but they're the ones manufacturing those. So that's a piece of good news. I do agree. And I had a similar thought when they said single motor, dual motor. I was like, cool. And then they said tri-motor. I was like, slow your roll a little bit. That doesn't seem like that makes a whole lot of sense. And maybe the tri-motor will come not in 2026. Maybe that's going to be 2027.
Yeah, and battery pack size. So you start to think it's a exponential problem, because like if I went to Tesla right now, I can choose between performance and non-performance. It's the same battery pack. I don't have an option there. Colors, I say let's ignore those. Wheels, let's say we ignore those. But Tesla does have the complexity with the seat configuration. Do you want a 5, a 6, or a 7-seater?
Yeah.
But I mean, like, we just, the Rivian has to reduce that complexity. Cause when you think, I mean, I actually did a tour of the Tesla factory, and I watched vehicles coming down the line, and they do say that, you know, when a vehicle's coming down the line, is this going to get the bigger motor? Is it going to get two motors on the back? Is it going to get this? So a lot of that stuff, you know, you might have to retool the line for right now. We're just running performances that are coming out. Now we're running, you know, dual motors. Now we're running single motors. So they have to, every time they have to slow something down, it's just like, how much complexity do they need to remove from their delivery process to say, there's only one battery pack that you get with Rivian. It's this size. We're done. You don't get, that's a no longer choice, because every time you add on, again, it's just a multiplier that I can get the rear wheel drive with this battery, this battery, this battery. I can get the, you know, the dual motor with this battery, this battery, this battery, or I can get this, the tri motor with this battery. They have to remove some of the complexity out of that process.
Yeah. And if anybody's wondering why this is a concern for Rod, I'm assuming that's because complexity adds cost, and cost adds, it makes a non-profitable company, which, you know, you lose tens of thousands of dollars on every car, which Rivian's currently still doing.
You got it. And as a shareholder, I'd like that to stop very soon.
Well, even GM could definitely weather the losses, and they cut their trim packages way down in complexity so that they could make sure that even though they're not killing it in EVs, they're still making money.
Yeah. I mean, I work in software, and I can tell you the death of any software company is giving customers too many options. Like, trying to be everything to everybody is not good. And honestly, when I go look, I like that I can go to Model X and I can say, I'm interested in the Plaid, or that's a $20,000+ upgrade. I may not be interested in the Plaid. And then all I have to do is say, this is the color I want, these are the wheels I want, and this is the seat configuration. Now, I'm pretty much done at that point. Everything else is software they're delivering. So, again, I do think Rivian has some time to figure those things out. There's a massively enthusiastic audience Rivian has. But that, the R2, I love it. For me, the R3 is just too small. It will have an audience. We don't know any pricing on it. The R3X, I would have said if that would have been out when my sons started driving, that would have been the vehicle. If that was on the market, I would have bought the R3X for my kids. Because what I wanted actually was the ID3, which never came to the US. That, to me, that was the perfect vehicle to put my kids in. And it never came to the US. And that R3X is an ideal first driver car for a kid.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know if I'd say ideal.
I don't think my kids are.
I was like, I don't know if I'd say ideal, Rod. Your kids are how old now?
Yeah. My kids are 11.
Okay.
And by the time my kids have no, at 11, they have no interest in driving. So, I once let my kids, and I remember when there were neighborhoods, but they never built houses.
Yeah.
This is kind of I once let my kids sit on my lap and drive when they were like 3 or 4. And I get a call from my wife. I'm at work, and I get a call from my wife like a couple days later. She's like, hey, did you let the kids drive the car? I was like, those rats, man. At 3 or 4 years old, they ratted me out. I was like, yes, this is the situation we're in. It was not unsafe.
It's almost like you want to say, but wait a second. Did I let them drive the car? I let them do what my father did. They sat on my lap. I had my hands on the steering wheel, and they got to kind of play a little bit at a very slow speed. The only difference between what I did and what my father did is I was not holding a beer with the other kid in the back holding the keg steady. Like, come on. There was no danger here.
Yeah. It was definitely, my dad wouldn't let me drive on the main road, but on the side road, which were still 45 miles an hour, he'd throw me on his lap.
Yeah. So my oldest son, he's a fantastic driver. And the funny thing is it started because he's really into F1. And it's not that he doesn't drive fast. He's in F. Well, I guess he does. He's a teenager, but not crazy. He's in F1, but we got him in go-karts so much when he was younger that when we actually put him behind the wheel, it was just, he had to get the feathering, but the steering and all the little nuances of the spatial awareness in the car, he was really good at because he had been driving go-karts from probably like the age of 6 years old and up. And so getting behind a car wasn't new for him. It was just learning the idea that when you press the brake, you press, not slam. Overall, I'm super excited for you because your kids are a little younger. They're what is Arizona? Is it 16 for driver's license or is it 15 and something?
No, it's 16.
Okay,
it's 16.
So yeah, you have a 5 years, which hopefully the R3X will be around by the time your youngest get to the point of driving.
Well, I have twins. I have twins. Oh. They're both not getting. They're probably going to get a Model Y, Rod, and I'm going to get another car.
What do you think happened to my Model X? My 17-year-old drives Model X. Yeah, I drive my 17-year-old drives my Model X, and I would rather have him in the super safe car because he's a relatively new driver. My Model X is at this point 7 years old. I actually drive a 2009 minivan when I'm not driving, when I don't steal my Model X back, and the minivan is going to be replaced with the. So this is the other secret. My 15-year-old cuts grass and I need a vehicle that we can throw a lawnmower in and get him to cutting grass. So the R1S could work for that, but an R1T is a little bit better. So the struggle for me is, do I go with the pickup truck because it's good for what he's doing now? Or do I just do the R1S and say that for a couple of years, he'll be throwing lawn equipment in the back of it while he's cutting grass? Because I know that there's like he's coming to the end of the, I want to cut grass versus I want to have a nice air conditioned job indoors, and making that pivot and transition.
Yeah. I mean, trailers are a great way to work around.
True. Very sure. True. That's a good, better way to look at it.
And then you don't get your car all dirty.
I like that. Let's idea
here. Okay. I think we've hit, I do want to just kind of repurpose. It's going to come with an AX adapter, not repurpose, restate, $45,000 to start. Yep. Coming out in 2026. They already have 68,000 reservations.
Impressive.
That is very impressive. they are delaying, their Georgia plant, which is a $5 billion plant. Yeah. They've decided not to build that, which herein goes a little bit of concern. But apparently they have enough capacity at, I mean, when you're only building 20,000 R1Ts and R1Ss in total in a year, mm-hmm. Was that the number this year?
It was definitely, you're not probably far off. It was definitely a lot lower. I can see if I can find it really quick while you're talking.
Okay. Because we do so many of these earnings calls every season that I may be thinking of a different company. And maybe it was 50. I don't remember. But they have enough capacity at Normal, Illinois plant to actually build the R2s. R3, different story. But right now, they can build it at the R2s, save themselves a little bit of money so that they can put this out at a decent price point. RJ said that all motor configurations will hit 300 miles, but the base model of the car will be less than 300 miles. So for $45,000, right. You're not getting 300 miles. You're getting was it 270?
Yeah, that came out in the MKBHD video. And to follow up on your question, Rivian had a production last year of 57,232 vehicles, a total delivery of 50,122.
Okay. And their guidance was like 57,000 delivered. It was something nominally larger than what they actually did
right.
For 2024. Okay. Yeah. I thought I was wrong on that. Thank you. Can we just go over one more concern that
absolutely.
I had? Absolutely. And it sounds like I thought this car was great. I am not digging on into Rivian. I'm not being critical or anything like that. They have a structural battery pack, which I think is great, but a 4695 cylindrical cell form factor. Mm-hmm. To me, that was more concerning than the different battery configurations.
Okay.
Because nobody else, as far as I know, does this cell size. So that means new machines in the factory to build this cell size. If not new machines, new configurations for those machines. And the runs are going to have to be very specific to Rivian. And we didn't hear anything about the chemistry. We just know about the form factor.
Yeah, I wish they would have gone and said, hey, we're just going down the same route of Tesla of going with the 4680 battery cells. Because then it, like, you've heard other manufacturers say we're going 4680. And it's just, it removes the question of, you know, whether it be Panasonic or whomever they go to produce batteries. It's like, we might have a slightly different chemistry from Rivian to Tesla to GM to whoever, but we can get batteries from everybody because everybody is tooled to do this production. Rivian, at the volumes they're at right now, it's just not enough for what they're producing in the course of a year. I mean, if you want to call a spade, I mean, if you figure over the course of 4 quarters in the year, they're producing about 14,000 vehicles across 2 models right now. Where, like I said, Tesla was doing 20,000 of each, S's and X's, I think it was. So they're doing about 40,000 vehicles. Was it a quarter? I think it was a quarter. And Rivian is at like 14,000 across 2 models per quarter. It's just they need to get those numbers probably almost doubling where they're at right now.
Yeah, for sure. And the good news is RJ does not have the hubris Elon has. So he seems like a much more down to earth human being in terms of what can possibly be done versus where can we push that envelope to be kind of cutting edge. Whereas Elon was what could possibly be done. And then this is much higher up is where we're going to push the envelope beyond what is possible. So that, which is also that 2 years, that leads me to believe that they're probably going to do something where they say, hey, listen, we said 2 years, but end of 2025, you're going to get your cars.
I wouldn't be shocked if you're right. So when I put my Rivian reservation down, I put it down and I had already fudge fact and said, they're probably not going to have any my reservation of where, because I was at the end of the list putting down my reservation. And I said, they're probably not going to get back to me until mid 2025 or 4. So I knew I was fine. And I got something in, I think it was almost December, saying you're ready to configure Rivian. I was like, you're 6 months ahead of where I wanted you to be, which, and again, I'm used to the abuse of Tesla of telling me you're going to deliver me something and not delivering it for 4 more years. So I think, you probably will be more right than I am of thinking that they'll be towards the end of the first half where they might be towards beginning and saying, you can actually start configuring your vehicles and start delivery in, you know, February of 2026. I pray they pull that into 2025 if they can, because I think it's the longer you have this $30,000 gap between what you're providing today, the more people are going to be sitting on the sideline, which means the more deals that are. And as you get closer, more people are going to say, well, it's almost here now. So why not wait a little bit longer to save $30,000?
Yeah. Yeah, and you really have to want the big one to make that calculation work out. Or maybe you own a car that has just fallen apart and you just got to make a purchase decision.
Yeah, like a 2009 Honda Odyssey minivan like I drive.
Yeah. Listen, I think that like the Kia EV9 is a great stopgap between this car and the R2 or the R1S and the R2, like the Kia EV9 is not cheap. It's more expensive than the R2, but it's not as expensive as the R1S.
Yeah. I'd say when I look at the Kia EV9, I still like the lines on the R1 and the R2 better. But it's not a bad looking vehicle. And I've been in a couple of the Kia electric vehicles. I mean, It's good to, I mean, when you think about Kia from 10, 15 years ago, you're like, ugh. And now you look at Kia, you're like, they figured it out. They're really good at manufacturing. Mm-hmm. It's tight quality. They look good. And they, I think they start at 270 miles of range, which is right in the same sweet spot.
Yeah, it is more money though. I think it's starting around 55, 58,000.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the price of the EV9 is, but you probably are not too far off on that one.
Yeah, and the IONIQ 9 for Hyundai recently was shown off, and I haven't really seen that one too much, but I would imagine it's pretty close to what the EV9 is.
Yeah, I just checked. It's the EV9 starts at 56,395.
Okay. So not cheap by any stretch of the imagination, but also if you need a car and you want something in that kind of form factor, that's a good option.
Yeah, that $7,500 tax credit for both the EV9 as well as for the R2 will be a big difference maker, and that being able to bring it down not a dollar below $40,000, but you know, $2,500 below $40,000. And if you're in a state that offers an incentive, like Maryland offers, I think it's a $3,000 vehicle incentive. Mm-hmm. On that vehicle now, I'm talking, you know, I'm not at 37,000, but I'm at like 34. I'm below 35,000 if I just go with the base model. That's where people want to be on vehicle purchases, if not slightly below. But for an EV without the general maintenance, I mean, I'm not lying when I say I'm 7 years into ownership. Have I had maintenance I've had to do on my vehicle? Yeah, but it was more repairs of, oh, like, you know, this is acting funny. But other than that, it's been tire replacements. That's it. Like, there is just no maintenance for EVs. And that amount of money you save cannot be underscored versus having to do oil changes periodically, having to do timing belt and all the other little things, you know, belt replacement, all the little things that go with a combustion vehicle. It's just charge it up and change the tires.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right, let's move to the R3. I don't think there wasn't as much, there's not as much detail on the R3 as we got on the R2. So this is going to not take nearly as long. R3, I think you kind of gave your initial, but why don't you restate your initial impression of the R3?
So for me and for my lifestyle, it's definitely too small. It reminds me of like the, what is that, Honda? It's not the Pilot. What's below the Pilot? Brain freezing on that.
It's not the Protege, because I think that's above the Pilot.
Yeah, but it reminded me more of like that kind of mid, like that CRV. Thank you. Yeah. It reminded me more like of a CRV type size for me and for my family. It's a little too small of a vehicle. However, the CRV is a massively popular vehicle. Most people don't have a four-child household. So it's a great small quote SUV, for people to get in. I think it'll be wildly popular when it does hit the market. And if it does have a decent step down in price, I think that vehicle will be more popular than the R2. And without a doubt, I think it'll be more popular than the R3X, but I thought it looked good. It's just for my use case, it's a little smaller than what I would want.
If you had to guess, what do you think that they would start this car at?
It has to be sub 40,000. I would think, it's not, they're not going to shave too much off it. So I think they'd have to be somewhere around $36,000 to $38,000 has to be the starting price for that. Cause then with federal discount, if it still applies by the time they release it, you could be talking about a sub $20,000, midsize SUV or a small SUV.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say like 39,999,999. There's no way. They're going to get as close to that $40,000 mark as humanly possible. There's not, it's a smaller car, but there's not a lot less.
You're right.
In this car.
It is not.
And so the margins are going to be lower on this vehicle, but you could potentially sell more of them.
Yeah. But you'd hope by the time they release it, hopefully batteries are there that are larger volume scale. So the cost of batteries go down, which is the biggest thing that eats into the price for the vehicle. So hopefully that will come to their advantage. They can bring that vehicle in and, they're going to be competing with, you know, the likes of all the other manufacturers who I would imagine someone is going to say, let's sneak into the small side of the SUV market and go for volume. And, I'd hope that they can get it into the mid thirties would be insanely good. If they get into the low thirties, I think they would just blow it out the door. Cause I know if you remember the times where you could get the Bolt and you could, with federal and state tax incentives, people would be able to get those things for like 19 grand. Like that thing was just going like hotcakes because it just hit that sweet spot. And that's where I think Rivian needs to hopefully they can focus on trying to bring it where with all the incentives, you could potentially get a stock vehicle without making any mods somewhere in the low to mid 20s, and it would go gangbusters. Yeah.
Yeah. Nope. I completely agree. The, let's see here. Let me go back to the picture of this thing. You mentioned that it had a rally car feel to it, and they're definitely, play into that in the, on the Rivian R3 website. The car itself, to me, the car looked like a little bit like a Mazda, maybe hatchback in the back. Mm-hmm. But the front is all Rivian, which makes it, to me, it's weird. The R3 is my least favorite Rivian vehicle at this point. But it's just that hatchback looks very strange. But a lot of people like that look.
So Volkswagen Rabbit is what jumped to my mind when I saw it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of got like, you know, when you first saw the back of an Ioniq 6 and you're just like, I don't even know what to think about this car. It's kind of got that feel.
So the first thing that jumped out to me when I saw the R3 was, I hate these wheels that they showed on stage with it. I literally cannot stand these wheels. Now I know they have some alternatives, but for something about like the quote hubcap look that they had on the R3X, I just like, I don't like this.
Oh, the R3X. Let's look at that. Because the X is the performance version of the performance and more off-road.
Yeah, that was like more the car one, right? The R3X. Am I wrong on that one?
Yeah. No, you're okay. Right. The R3X is just kind of more profile. It's more of a performance, like off-road ready type of a vehicle. Yeah. Let me see if I can pull up a picture here. Wheels, I guess they kind of look like some of the other wheels that Rivian does in that design language. Oh, no, this is the wheels. The wheels are almost completely solid in the middle.
Yeah, right? That's the one. I was like, I just did not like this.
Yeah, that's not a good look.
It's like, it's like that was the only, like, and mind you, I couldn't stop, like, mind you, I think a lot of people were focused on the side view mirrors because they were like bright orange, but I mm-hmm. could not take my mind off of the wheels. I was like, I literally cannot stand these wheels. It just doesn't seem like it fits the vehicle for me. But I know there's an audience who will love it.
Yeah, it's like there was a look in the 70s when somebody popped the head, the hubcap off, and there would just be like this round thing.
That's what it reminds me of. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a great look.
Yeah. The R3, the hubs they had on that, I was like, those are fine. They're not the sexiest wheels, but they're not ugly. The R3X, I was like, these are just hideous wheels. Like, you got, there has to be another option other than this. It almost felt like someone just said, we ran out of time. Just throw something on there that you can find. And they didn't see it until the day of the launch.
For sure. Yeah. Somebody made a judgment call, and then they're like,
that was the wrong call. What is this? It just, I mean, I don't know how anybody could look at the vehicle and look at the wheels and say they like it. But again, I do know that my taste is not everybody's, but every time I look at the wheels, I'm like, it destroys what I think is otherwise a good looking vehicle for me. And I want to be clear there. I don't want to, my opinion isn't everybody's, but I hate it. I hate it with a passion.
Yeah. Yeah, this we promote on this show that whatever car you're attracted to is the right car for you. So it's okay to hate it. The R3X has some fender flares on it. It sits up a little higher. It looks like based on the pictures that I'm looking at, it's got those wheels. It's got orange in terms of the
accent
the mirrors. Yeah, the accent mirrors, which is not. I like the way they used color, but the blue that they showed it with kind of clashes. It's not for me a good look, but I mean, I could definitely see somebody buying this and taking it off road and really enjoying themselves. If this is the kind of car you want.
I mean, I could see the mirror colors being optional, or it's like, hey, we started with this, something a little edgy for a younger audience who's going to really be going to that. But it's, everything else about the vehicle, I was like, I think this could be cool. This could be fun. And as I said, I would have bought this for my kids, I just would have bought it with different wheels.
Sure. Sure. So. Maybe you could even pop those off and pop something else on.
Yeah.
That might be a possibility. Although it does look like it's actually on there.
So even with I think like even with my wife's Tesla, I have two sets of wheels for her on her Tesla. She has winter wheels, which are aftermarket, and she has summer wheels, which are the Tesla wheels. I don't think Tesla does a decent job with their wheels, but if I could not get it with another wheel, I would take the stock wheels, and immediately the day it arrived, I would take it down to my neighbor's house, jack it up and take the wheels off. And those would sit in the closet unless I needed it from the winter.
That's a good way to handle it. That's a good way to handle it for sure. Let's talk about a little bit about the rear hatchback. The whole lift gate will lift open, but then they had something called flipper glass so that you could just open up the window. You didn't have to open up the whole gate. And that flipper glass, actually, you can adjust the height like you can with the lift gate on the model.
Very neat idea.
And I think for sure. Because my garage door is too small, and I think it was a guy, I don't even want to credit who I think it was, because probably somebody else that told me. Somebody from the audience was like, hey, you know, you can adjust that so it doesn't hit your garage door every time you open it. I didn't even know that. So, yeah, that was a big benefit.
I like the idea because I think we've all gone to Home Depot with a vehicle that wasn't designed to go to Home Depot and get lumber, and knowing that you could stretch a piece of lumber. And that was probably the other thing that popped to my mind about the front folding seats in the R2 mm-hmm. was I can go to Home Depot, I can get an 8-foot piece of lumber, and it's not sitting kind of on the dash sloping down. I can slide it into the footwell across the top of the seat, and it's just like, if it has to come out the back of the vehicle, or if it can fit in the vehicle with the trunk closed, it fits. That's what I thought when I saw the R3X, is that I can just slide it in, pop it up the glass, tighten it down, and then I can drive home with a 6 or 8 foot piece of lumber, because we all multi-purpose our vehicles. We always don't have a friend we can call with a truck that can go get stuff for us.
Yeah, Yeah, that's why I bought when I bought my car, I bought 3 moving blankets, and I just stow them down in the little cubby in the back of my car, because you never know where you're going to be, where you have to put something in there. But also, I don't want to ruin my new car, so that's the best. That was the best. I don't know, best. That was one of my guilty pleasures on that car when I opened that up and I saw that, and I was like, oh, I've got, because it's Arizona, I've got like foldable coolers down there, so if I go grocery shopping, I can throw food in those coolers, and everything's out of the way. Nobody knows.
Yeah, and you live in a different. I mean, right now, this time of year, you guys are. It still hasn't gotten to the blazing hot, but I know coming soon, like coolers are very useful for you going to the grocery store. But I don't, many people don't live in the, where it's going to be 114, 120 degrees in the summer. But right now you guys are still a pretty decent, like not, it's not hot, but it's still a normal temperature for most of the country.
We're hanging out in the 70s. We have a few days above, a few days below, but right around in the mid-70s.
It's like the beautiful time in Arizona. I will say, I mean, like I say, I've spent a lot of time in Phoenix, which I don't know if you're close to the Phoenix area, but for me, I've gone into Phoenix, and to me, 120 degrees, it sucks, but man, it's nice not to be smacking mosquitoes and doing all that garbage all summer long. I love Phoenix.
Yeah, yeah. I would rather a hot, a dry heat than a wet heat for sure. So overall, we're gonna come bring this all around. Rivian announcement a success?
Absolutely. Yeah, and it reflected in the stock price going up. So yes.
Yeah, it got a bump. It got a bump for sure. Yeah, and okay. So I thought it was a success. I'm always skeptical, and you have companies like Fisker or Lucid. Those folks are run by very charismatic marketing types that some people don't really care for. I think you're not a fan of Peter Rawlinson, if I remember right. Yeah, I know a lot of people. Hamid Shojaei, who founded Axosoft, I had a whole conversation with him about Peter Rawlinson, and he is also not a fan.
He just seems like an evil Bond villain. Sorry, there are probably people who love the guy, but I just cannot get that thought of him out of my mind.
Okay, so Rod, I have an experiment for you if you have time today. Go and listen to Fisker's earnings call and fast forward to their chief technology officer and tell me that's not Peter Rawlinson cosplaying as a chief financial officer for Fisker.
The Q1 earnings call, right? For Fisker? Q4. All right, I'll put that up.
He switched, I think, last quarter. So either the Q3 or Q4, you'll hear him. But he sounds just like Peter Rawlinson. And I've had several people from England and the surrounding areas up there in the UK say, no, this guy sounds dead on to my ear to Peter Rawlinson.
So another guy I'm going to hate is what you're saying.
I don't know. He seems nice. But anyway, the whole point is that these companies will announce something to keep their stock price bolstered or to keep them in the news. I don't think Rivian necessarily did that in this situation. I think it definitely helped them. But I think RJ, again, just seems like a much more measured person. And I mean, he's a business person, so I don't want to go too crazy in the compliment area, but he has a better sensibilities than a lot of the CEOs in the EV startup market. Let's say that. How's that?
Yeah,
is that
fair? He's a guy that you'd say I'd feel comfortable that I could sit down and have a beer with him. Seems like he's super down to earth. I don't know where he politically aligns, and nor do I feel that he's going to say something that's going to dramatically offend me or make me regret the purchase of the vehicle like I would get with a very polarizing character like Elon Musk.
Yeah. Elon Musk just recently, if I could bring it around him, he recently complained about how Jeff Bezos' ex-wife is spending her billions of dollars. I was like,
who cares? It's her money.
Why do you care? It's not your money. You don't have to have an opinion on everybody. That's my mom was very, and dad were very good about teaching me, like, it's not necessary to have an opinion on everything. Yeah. You can stay in your lane a little bit, which I don't like that phrase because I think that's kind of, that doesn't let anybody ever have any sort of freedom to say something outside of their lane. But what I'm saying is you don't have to comment on everybody's business. That's also rude.
I agree. That's really I could not agree with you more. You're 100% right.
All right. Well, I'm going to call it a success too. Rod, do you want to tell everybody where they can find you and what
you're doing? Yeah. So, if you want to, I mean, obviously I hang out with my buddies. I think you and Rob are doing a podcast together, here now.
We are.
And, you've probably heard Chris on talking about his truck, but we are all on the SMR podcast. So you can reach me there. And Chris and I work together and we run a barbecue podcast called, Barbecue and Tech. And Chris actually just made a pivot in his career where he has a food truck in the Washington DC area called Barbecue and Tech. So, yeah, we've not just running a podcast about barbecue, but we're also, Chris is actually running a food truck and a career change, a late life career change. So he's living his dream and I'm watching and enjoying and passionate about it. And I get to talk to him about barbecue all the time. So that's where you can find me. I am on Twitter X, as Rod Simmons on that platform. And yeah, that should be good.
Yeah. And I'll throw another plug out for Chris's thing. You can, if you're in the Washington DC area, you can follow him on Facebook and I'll put a link in the show notes for all of the things that Rod talked about today and where to find him. And I will say this, and this is with all genuine SMR podcasts, my favorite EV podcast. You guys only spend about 30, 40% of your time talking about EVs, but it's still like the takes that I get on the SMR podcast, I recycle them and I use them on.
Hey, anytime you want me here, hopefully I'll get another invite within the next 4 years before the Rivian launch. But anytime you want me, man, I love talking EVs, especially with somebody who is as passionate about them as I am. And you are super passionate about EVs. So anytime, I'm happy to be here.
Okay. And the same goes anytime you would like me to come on the SMR podcast and back you up, because those other two guys I like a lot.
They're knuckleheads.
But, this summer when you guys were talking about the range thing with Tesla, I was screaming into my radio with Tesla having one range for when you leave the house versus one range for when you actually plan your trip out.
Oh yes. Yeah. 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 Well, I'll talk to Chris and Rob and we'll try to find a good time that we can get you on the show and we can just talk EVs and range and road tripping. I think it's good because you have some experience. Chris has some, I have some, and Rob is just along for the ride of why he hasn't bought one, because Escalade doesn't have a electric vehicle yet for him and his giant man size.
Yes. All right, Rod, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
That was such a fun interview. And as much as I enjoyed actually sitting down and talking to Rod and doing that interview, I actually enjoyed it more when I was able to listen back. So hopefully you enjoyed it as much as I did. And Rod is, you know, very passionate about EVs, and not only passionate, but well-versed and knowledgeable in the EV space. So it was a lot of fun to talk to him, and we will definitely get him on before another 4 years passes. All right, everybody. That is it for me this episode. I hope you all enjoyed it. If you want to email me, you can do so. It's Bodie, B-O-D-I-E, at 918digital.com. You can also find me on Twitter at 918digital or X. And yeah, I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. And I will talk to you on Tuesday. Oh, on Tuesday, we are going to be sitting down with Gene Rubin, who is a Cybertruck owner. So that's going to be a fun and exciting episode. All right, everybody, take care of each other, and I will talk to you on Tuesday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.